On behalf of the worship leaders, I want to welcome all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to Easter worship this morning in Cox Chapel at 11 o'clock. We are honored and privileged to have you among us on this great day. Welcome indeed. I think I first noticed it in the cemetery, the Jewish cemetery in Budapest. We were touring the great synagogue on Dohnányi Street. The synagogue in Budapest had been a center of Jewish life, indeed the center of the ghetto during World War II. Many Jews fled there for refuge. It was not simply a place of worship, but indeed a sanctuary. And we had gone into the cemetery, out in the courtyard. And as we passed the graves, I noticed that on the slabs and markers were not flowers or wreaths that you and I might expect to find as we walk through graveyards, but rather on the graves were rocks, some small as pebbles, others as big as your hand. There are lots of theories as to why we place stones on Jewish graves. The superstitious rationale for stones is that they form a sort of barrier, an obstacle. They hold down the grave and whatever might be in it. They, as it were, help the soul stay put. A more benign rationale for the practice is that the stones become a kind of calling card, indicating the presence of one who has come to pay respects. But there is a theological rationale as well. In ancient times, shepherds needed a system to keep track of their flocks of sheep as they took them out to pasture. Some days the flock may number 10, and another day 20, and yet another day perhaps 30. And if shepherds' memories are as reliable as mine, things got a little tricky, they got a little mixed up. And so in order to keep count of his sheep, the shepherd would fill a small sling with a number of pebbles equal to the number of sheep going out to pasture that day. That way he could at all times have an accurate daily count. So when we place stones on the grave, we are asking the Lord, who is our shepherd, to keep the soul of the departed in God's sling, to keep the departed in the care of God. The women who went to the tomb that morning did not bring stones with them. Instead, they brought spices. They would not have needed stones, as Jesus had not been buried in the ground, but rather in a tomb that itself had been hewn out of rock. The women were bringing spices and ointments in order to care properly for Jesus' corpse. He had been buried so quickly that Friday that there had been no time adequately to prepare his body for burial. It had simply been wrapped in linen cloths and laid in a rich man's tomb. The following day, the Sabbath had come with its requirement that all people rest. There was no work to be done on it, not even the ancient and honorable work of caring for the dead. So now these women had come to do just that, to do what law and custom required, to offer to Jesus a final act of ministry. Just as they had ministered to Jesus, as Jesus had ministered to them back in Galilee from whence they had come. That the women brought spices and ointments shows that they did not expect that Jesus would be raised from the dead. Jesus had told them any number of times as he went throughout Galilee that he, the Son of Man, must be rejected, suffer, even be killed, but on the third day he would be raised. The angel reminded the women of that morning. But until he did, the memory of Jesus' promise seems to have faded. Where once their hearts had been filled with joy as they watched Jesus heal the sick and comfort the lonely, where once their hearts had been filled with joy at the vision of God's kingdom coming that Jesus had laid out for them, where once their hearts had been filled with joy at the presence of Jesus, now their hearts were filled with grief and sorrow. The work to be done that morning was the terribly routine work of caring for the dead. My friends, how often do we bring to Jesus our expectations, not of the extraordinary, but of the routine, the average, the normal? Nothing in life is certain, goes the old saying, except death and taxes. And don't we live accordingly? Let us eat and drink and be merry so long as we file our returns by April the 15th, for tomorrow we die. And so we settle into life's little habits. And over time, those habits become patterns, and over longer periods of time, those patterns become routine. And part of that routine is we may or may not go to church, and if we do go to church, we may go with all the regularity and joy of going to the dentist, and often for the same purpose. You know, get a little cleaning, have somebody poke around, make sure there's nothing too bad going on in there. If there is, bit of a nip, bit of a tuck, bit of a polish, scrubbed up, cleaned up, ready to go back into the world, feeling a bit, well, down in the mouth, if you'll forgive the pun. You know, we go to the dentist for routine checkup because we don't like surprises. And we build our world accordingly. I mean, why else buy insurance? Parts of our life are hermetically sealed off from other parts. We develop a schedule, we plan things. We don't like surprises. Certainly, the women were not expecting a surprise as they arrived at the tomb and found that the great stone that had sealed the tomb had been rolled away. That stone that had secured the entrance to the tomb was now in a different place, and the fact that that stone had been rolled away is Easter's first sign that our expectations won't be met, that there are, in fact, surprises in store, that maybe we cannot, in fact, control and manage the world the way we thought we could. There are a few things more solid, more durable, more lasting than stone. That may be one reason why we place stones on Jewish graves, because stones endure. Prophet Isaiah once said, the grass withers, the flower fades. But stones do not die. They are better suited to the permanence of memory. And that's why Jesus' tomb was sealed with a stone. It was solid and durable. Sealing stones like this one are massive affairs, perhaps 5 to 6 feet in diameter, as much as a foot thick. They weighed between 1 and 2 tons. They were set in an inclined groove such that it took at least 2, maybe 3 men to roll the stone down into the groove, into its place where it would seal the tomb. It would be much harder, would require much more effort to roll that stone back up the incline. but it was just that sort of stone that was needed to keep the dead in. To allow the dead to rest in peace, to allow nature to take its course with human flesh and blood. Tombs, you see, were opened only to collect the bones and place them in boxes in order to allow in more death. My friends, I wonder this morning how many of us carry around within ourselves our own inner tombs. Tombs of shattered hopes, broken dreams, unresolved anger, unforgiven guilt. In these tombs, I think we bury our fears, our addictions, our insecurities, our indiscretions, our predilections, all those things we don't want anyone else to know go deep, deep into the cold, lifeless tomb. And in the cold and lifeless tomb of our inner selves lie the skeletal remains of former friendships, or once cherished ideals or intended commitments. We put all of those things deep down there because what is dead and buried is meant to stay that way. And so we try desperately to seal those tombs with stones of repression, of denial, of willful ignorance, of stubbornness. Nothing in there is meant to get out. But my friends, on Easter morning, we come to the tomb and find that the stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. Death could not hold Jesus in its power. The grave could not contain its divine contents. Not even the stone could seal Jesus within. And how could it? That stone was no match for the power of God's love. And that, my friends, is the heart of the Easter message. A stone out of place, grave clothes void of their content, an empty tomb, all point to the truth that Jesus, once crucified, dead, and buried, has been raised by the power of God. His tomb is empty, and ours can be as well. The message of Easter is that our tombs, once cold, have been warmed with the fire of God's glory. Our tombs, once darkened by sin and death, have been enlightened and enlivened by the presence of God. Those dead and lifeless places within us have been brought to new life, to resurrection life, to life we could not otherwise have imagined, because Jesus is raised from the dead. My friends, the invitation to you this morning is to claim that Easter power, to know that the tomb is empty, that you are free, that God calls you, each of you, to step in confidence into the brightness of God's dawn. Thanks be to God who raises Jesus from the dead.